appreciate that song. But that's just how we feel. There's no place for us to go but to the Lord. Appreciated the Sunday school class this morning and songs that have been sung concerning the kingdom. Kingdom of righteousness is here within us. Thank the Lord. The word of the Lord is part of that kingdom. Stand before you this morning feeling insufficient. I recently had a little experience. The Lord allowed me to see really how insufficient I am. And He gave me the scripture that is in the word of the Lord about our sufficiency or insufficiency, whichever way you want to say it. And that scripture says that our sufficiency is of God. And while that encouraged me, it was the next verse that really sustained me. For it said, "For He hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." And it was only on those words alone that I was able to proceed in the job that the Lord had for me to do. So I acknowledge the Lord this morning that I am nothing without Him, and that my sufficiency is only of God, and that He hath made us an able minister of the New Testament. Thank the Lord. I've said to some, and I say it again before the congregation, that unless you're attending all of the services that are held, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, that you're not getting the full essence of what the Lord is trying to say. I've said that I felt and I have seen that in the last year, maybe year and a half, 2 years, that the Lord has changed somewhat in the way that He has given messages, the types of messages. I find that what He gives on Sunday morning most of the time is not necessarily the shouting type messages. Not that we have too many of those. I'd like to have more. But it's more of the instructional type messages and warning messages, preparing us for that last great day that is coming. Then a lot of times on Sunday night, it'll be just a reverse of that or a balance of it. And I'm so thankful that the Lord works that way. I've heard some little criticisms of the types of messages that are being preached on Sunday morning, that they're not too uplifting. But the Lord spoke that to me, that if those individuals are not hearing Sunday night too, they're not getting the balance or the other side of the coin. Or if they're not there on Wednesday night to hear the testimonies, or if there's a Bible study or whatever, God's providing a balance for His people. He's providing all things for us, and I thank the Lord for that. We had a little message last Sunday in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to go back to that same chapter today. We'll be reading past the first few verses that we started with last Sunday. And Lord willing, we'll be going through verse 10, I believe. I gave the background or the foundation to this particular chapter and how the Lord had given it to us there at Monarch. I don't always understand what the Lord wants to give, but I submit to what the Spirit says. It starts out and it says again, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, or a form of it. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time in the past, it means, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our thought is the contrast here of the old man and the new man. The old being that which is put away, and the new being that which is renewed day by day, which is taken on by the life of Christ, by the precious gift of salvation, the forgiveness of those wicked and vile and sinful things that we had in our life. You and I, as human beings, do not necessarily like to see ourselves as we really are sometimes. We do not like to really see ourselves as having been even really wicked or vile. But the Scripture tells us for us to see sin as exceedingly sinful. And for me to really see that, I've got to see the righteousness of God and the purity of Christ and how that he's drawing mankind to come to this level of holiness. And without Christ, I cannot be holy. I cannot be pure. And yet, in this contrast of the old man and the new man, one scripture also says for me to remember, and this is paraphrased, the pit from which I was digged, or that hole. You see, you and I, when we were out in sin and we were following the lusts of our flesh and following the pride of life, remember the message last Sunday entailed the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When we were under the power of those kind of lusts, we were in a pit of sin. We were in an ugly place. There was nothing beautiful about the things that you and I took part in. Whether it was just in our minds, for the Scripture says, it speaks about a man that commits adultery, if he even looks after a woman to lust after her. So you see that God is even looking into our minds and judging us according to even the thoughts that we might have. It was a terrible pit from which you and I have come out of. And God is desiring us to really be this one that is risen with Christ, changed in their way, walking a new way, a way of holiness, a highway that is far above the things of this world. You and I have all around us evil and uncleanness and terrible sins that are being committed right over the airwaves, on the TVs, on our billboards, in our ears. Oh, I want to tell you, I never dreamed that we would come to an age that we are right now, that even programs programs that you would think on the radio that would be all right to listen to has to have something that's discolored, inserted in these things, that pollutes the mind and pollutes the man, the woman, the child. It's a very serious matter that you and I are living in a very wicked world. And we need to be warned of this. Day by day, every day you need to warn yourself that the devil has a trap set for your feet, for your mind, for your heart, for your affections, for your desires. Because the Lord wants us to be a new man, a new woman, a new child, a new person. He wants us to put those old things away, out of our life. Look at verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members. To mortify means to cause it to die, to kill it. You see, we have salvation. We've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has been applied to our sins, covered them. But there's something about me that I have to take care of now. I've been in this pit. I've come out of it. I've got a mind. I've got my will. I've got my personality. I've got those things that have seemed normal to me for a long time, most of my life. And if my flesh has partaken of any of these things, the residue of those things are still there and alive and trying to re-enter. Why do I know that? Because there's a scripture that Jesus gave as an example for us to understand that Satan, when he is dethroned in my life, he comes back to see if that place has been filled with good things. And if it hasn't been filled, you see, that spirit came back and he found that place, the one that Jesus told us about. He found that place just swept and garnished, but not filled. And he says, aha, now I can go back into that place. Those spirits, I'm going to go get seven more that's worse than me, and I'm going to enter in and fill that empty place. So you see, when you and I are delivered from sin, we have a job on our hands. There's something we have to do. It's up to me to seek for the filling up of those places that have been forgiven, blood washed, cleansed, swept and garnished. It's up to me now to do something. So when I recognize that my life has been involved with these vices of the earth, and they're not beautiful, and I do not take pleasure in warning of these things. The Lord gave all of those messages on the works of the flesh, and I believe with all of my heart that he gave them. I stand by what he gave. I stand by it this morning that these things need to be reminded to us. My burden at that time was for the young people and the children, that they would recognize the sins of this earth and how it will affect them, how it will change and alter the course of their lives. It will cause them to find trouble and sorrow and grief if they follow after the sexual sins of this earth. I want to tell you this morning, if ever there was a time that the message needed to be preached, it needs to be preached today, because this is what's in our world. It's on every hand. It's on the internet. It is a vile thing that our young people and our children can find on the internet. I went to the library. We do not have the internet at home. I went to the library searching out a certain article that we were needing to purchase, and as that came up there, it said that there were about 250 sites under that particular subject, and I started looking down there, and you know, I could tell exactly by the name of some of those sites. Don't you go there. You'll be embarrassed. I want to tell you, that's how Satan has done. He has put things that could have been good and turned it into evil. And it's caused our young people, and not just our young people, I take that back. It starts with the young people and it goes through to their adulthood. But listen, many adults are taking part of these kind of things today, and God is not pleased with these things. God cannot bless a soul that is partaking of ugliness and filth of this earth. And it even says so in another scripture, which we will give to you. God is not pleased with these kind of things going on. And he says, if you're risen with Christ now, you can't be a partaker of this and claim the name of Christ too, you see. We are to kill and mortify these things in our flesh that we are walking about here. I still have my eyes. I still have my mind. I still have my heart, my affections, my desires. And when I realize that these kind of things are reaching out to me and trying to affect me, I need to cut that thing off. I need to cause that thing to be mortified in my very flesh. And it's up to me to do that. Yes, I have salvation. I have the forgiveness of my sins. I have the blood of Jesus applied to my heart. But now I've got a job to do. I've got to cut these things off and not place myself in any position to even be tempted. These things that we've had in the works of the flesh, the fornication, the uncleanness. Listen, what do you think uncleanness is? Just an unclean body? No, it has nothing to do with an unclean body. Uncleanness is the ugliness of the defiled mind, the dirty thoughts, the imaginations. Oh, I want to tell you, God is seeing our minds. God is seeing every thought that I have, every imagination that I have. The scripture tells us that he does. The scripture says that he divides the bone and the marrow on the soul and the spirit. He knows our thoughts afar off. And you and I need clean minds. And God can help us to have clean minds. And the Lord wants us to be that new creature in Christ with a different mind than what I had when I was down in that pit. Even though the enemy is coming back, he wants to see what kind of thoughts have you got in your mind. Is your mind just empty? Or have you fed on a few other things? Well, I don't have the unclean thoughts, but I have some of these other thoughts that are not really necessarily godly thoughts or edifying thoughts. I want to tell you something. Satan will take advantage of that. He'll bring in some more spirits, and he'll take more thoughts into your mind. You need to mortify those things, cut them off, and cause them to die. A thought just came to me. I hope that it will be in an analogy that you might be able to get hold of, but I remember one time when I was a little girl, I had a large mole on my body, and my parents took me to the doctor, and we thought that he would burn it off. But do you know he didn't burn it off? You know what he did? He was an old-fashioned doctor. They probably don't even do this anymore. He took a nylon thread, and he tied it real tight around that mole. It was very painful. But do you know, in about a week's time, the blood supply that was cut off to that thing caused it to die, and it fell off. Sort of gross sounding, isn't it? Did you know the Lord is wanting you to tie something around these evil things that will be that sin that does so easily beset us? He wants us to tie it to where it is so bound it cuts off the very supply. And that thing dries up and dies and drops off. No longer a problem in my mind, see, because I've cut off the supply. You cut off your supply and it won't be fed and nurtured and it won't grow. Now that's how we have to mortify these kind of things in our life. Cut off the supply and it'll die. It goes on and it says inordinate affection. You know, you could read these things and just skim over them and say, well, that's not familiar to me. You need to look up what are the definitions of some of these things. just to make sure that you don't have them in your life. Inordinate means, I looked that up because I too didn't really know what it meant. It means not normal or excessively uncontrolled passions. Excessive. We're living in a world of excess to the flesh. Whatever the flesh is reaching out for, the flesh is getting. And they're doing it in excess. And it comes down to the sensual parts of our life. People are not really having that, maintaining that control in their physical bodies. And God is not pleased. God has an ordained plan. He wants that plan to be kept as holy and as pure and righteous. He has a plan that is beautiful, a plan that is righteous, right. He has a plan for a man and a woman in marriage, and God wants a man and a woman to carry out a holiness right in their home life, right in their marriage bed. I know that's plain speaking this morning, but I want to tell you that God is just as concerned about what goes on behind our bedroom doors as he ever was. And I realize that that is plain speaking, but God is really concerned this morning about us being godly in every area of our life. And there is a way to be godly in that part of our life. We must not have it in an excess or not normal. God is looking for godly men and women. I hope that you're getting what we're saying. I don't want to be over-emphasizing of this, but God's not pleased with what is happening. And he's sending warnings to us that we mortify and cut off and strangulate this thing and cause the very supply to be cut off, you see. It goes on and it says, evil concupiscence. See, it's such a word you can't even hardly spit it out. Why don't we just say it what it really says? Evil sexual desires. This world is just drunk on this. This is not an easy thing to preach on. God is absolutely, he's going to bring this world into judgment and to the final end over these kind of things. If he brought Sodom and Gomorrah down because of homosexuality, he's going to bring this world into judgment because of these sexual vices that are being carried out in our world, many of them against little children, many of them against right in families, many of them against a wife who does not have the same convictions that man might have, or vice versa. God's going to bring this world into judgment over those things that are being done in secret. I want to tell you, you're not doing anything in secret. If you think just because your door is closed, because your companion doesn't go out and tell what's happening, I want to tell you, it's not in secret. God's going to bring this thing into judgment. And I'm sorry to have to preach like this morning, being a woman, and I'm not looking at you men. It's a serious thing to be in this position, but I'm telling you, God is not pleased. God is not pleased. He's not pleased with covetousness either, with the lust for other people's things. God's not pleased with that. Cut it off. Let that thing die. Let that supply of that thing be dried up. Now he goes on here and he says, in this particular reading, I hate all of those things, but now, let's come down to everyday living. You might be saying, well, I don't have any part in all of that. Let's talk about our everyday living now. Children and young people, you might not have understood some of the things I said, or you might have. But these next things that is printed here in this book of Colossians, I think most of us can understand, even as little children. We can understand what anger is. Parents, as your little children, though they're very small, they're going to demonstrate anger. And it's up to you to try to control that and to get them to see that anger will destroy them. Anger will ruin their life. Anger and wrath. Wrath and anger just go hand in hand. People that have tempers, uncontrolled tempers, people that are under a fit of anger just because they don't get their way, just because this thing didn't happen like I wanted it, you didn't do just like I wanted you to do. People get stirred up on the inside, see? And then they begin to display their displeasure. It comes out. And they display wrath. We're living in a world where there's never been so much abuse. Physical abuse. Verbal abuse. Mental abuse. They've got a name for all kinds of abuse because there's all kinds of abuse going on. People are allowing their mouth to just spew out whatever they feel. Whether it hurts somebody and cuts them and wounds them and sometimes destroys them, they don't care. God's not pleased. God's not pleased with what comes out of our mouths sometimes. Little children, my burden is for the little children that are coming up under abuses of all kinds, cannot defend themselves. You know what happens to little children when they have to go through that? They begin to get bitter. They begin to get rebellious. They begin to fight back for themselves. They try to defend themselves in other ways. Rise up before the teachers. Well, I can't defend myself at home, but I sure can with my teacher because she can't whip me, see? So all of these things gets them in deeper trouble. Abuse. God is against abuse of all kinds. He never smiles on abuse. He never approves of abuse of any kind, whether it's verbal. Young people and children, you're still young enough to change if you're abusive to your sibling. You're still young enough to change. God can help you. He wants to help you. He wants you to be a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ, boy, girl, whatever it is. God is saying, I want you to be new. I want you to put off those things. I want you to kill those things. Shut off the supply to those things. So everything hasn't gone just right. It's been a bad day. And your little brother, your little sister, whatever it is, comes along and they irritate me too. What do? You take it out on them. Do you know that there are a lot of young children, they believe what they hear? One, I want to tell you this message is not going to be done today. I can tell right now. Look down here, I have too many scriptures. I want to tell you something. Children that are told, you're dumb, you're stupid. Do you know they get to believing that? If we call each other names, I tell you, it hurts to the core. Young children. Well, listen, let me tell you, it hurts adults too. Doesn't matter how old that you get. These things hurt and wound and can cause emotional scars that takes years to recover. God can help you recover, but let you not be the one that causes a wound and a scar that somebody else has to deal with. years down the road. Anger and wrath. Put it away. It says here, malice. What do you think malice is? Do you know when someone has malice for you? Let's put it in simple terms so the young people and the children can understand it and get a hold of it. Ill will doesn't want anything good for you. Have you ever experienced that? I have. Have you ever experienced scorn? I want to tell you, scorn is something that is hard to bear because it's done in silence many times. A look of scorn. Have you ever had a look of scorn from someone else? Contempt. Those kind of things do more damage than if they'd have spoke the word sometimes, because the devil takes advantage of it and builds it up in your imagination. And you talk about, you've heard it said that the biggest nation is imagination. Well, that's what the devil wants. He wants our imaginations to hinder us because of what we might have seen with our eyes, not necessarily what all we heard with our ears. You see, it's not all what we hear with our ears. The anger, the temper, the ugly words. You know what? When I was a child, I had this little saying, sticks and stones can break your bones or my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. Sticks and stones can hurt our physical bodies, but the words go way down into the heart. And it does something that takes God to heal. No amount of medicine that you would get from a doctor can heal the wounds of the heart. Have you ever thought that? Oh, I want to tell you, God is displeased if we wound another in our fit of temper or anger or wrath or malice. Don't have goodwill. Don't love. And then it says blasphemy, evil speaking. Blasphemy is criticizing, trying to destroy another's reputation or goodness that they are doing, casting them down. Filthy communication, put it out of your mouth. See, all of these are things that come out of the mouth. In this verse, every one of these things is communicated to another. Says, put these things out of your mouth. Filthy communication. What is that? Telling a dirty joke? Telling a slightly dirty joke? Telling just an off-color joke? See, it's just a hint. God's not pleased. Ye then be risen with Christ. You put these things out of your mouth. You get rid of all of these things, the sexual sins, things that you do in your body, a sin against your flesh, a sin that you might do with others. But then this one is what you do to others, because it comes out of your mouth against others and affects others. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I'd like to ask a question. I'd like for everybody to be honest. I'm going to put you on the spot. And if you feel like that you can't do this, I'll excuse you. But I'd like everyone to raise their hand if they've ever told a lie. Every one of us has at some time in our life told a lie. That's part of the old man. The new man is to be honest, forthright, upright. Scripture tells for us not to even swear. How many of you heard people say, "I swear I'm telling the truth. I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles. I'm telling the truth." You know, we don't have to do that. The scripture says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay." Yes, that's true. No, I did not do that. God wants us to live that kind of a life. What do you say when you take the stand to be a witness? I swear. No. To tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Have we ever told an innocent? We talked about the children that would go home and tell the slanted news. That's what it was. Child got in trouble at school, they'd go home and tell their parents the slanted version. You ever told a slanted version of the truth? The ACE always told us that children will tell the slanted news, not always tell the truth. Well, if I'm going to take a stand and I'm telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Sometimes the truth is going to make me look bad. Did you know that? Recently I had an experience, and I tell this not to be funny, because it was very serious to me at the time. You probably already know it, but I'm fast and he's a little slower. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, being a little fast. Yes, you're not in the accident. I was working around the house, the radio was on, and here's an advertisement for heating and air. And our heating and air is as old as our house, and good idea, I'm going to go call and get an estimate to replace the heating and air. He was out in the garden. He didn't know anything about it. I have to tell the whole story for you to know why the Lord taught me a great lesson about this scripture. Well, I called that one up, and he says, "Well, I can be there in just a few minutes. I'm not very far away." Well, good. Well, I'll call two or three more. I'm going to have a real estimate comparison. So I called about three more. I had four of them lined up in just a few minutes. This man came, and he saw my husband out in the garden, and he wanted to deal with him and not me. Well, here, he didn't know. I was doing everything I could to keep him from going out in the garden. I said, "Well, I'll go get him." Well, Lord Vince comes in, you know, and he's a bit upset with me because I did this jump way ahead of him, and he told the man, he says, "I didn't even know you were coming." So I was a bit embarrassed. I went to my bedroom. I felt so bad. Got down, was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You humble yourself. You go apologize to your husband because you got ahead of him, and you tell him you're going to cancel all of these other things," which one of them I couldn't. He was on the way. So when I called this one to cancel, the lady says, "Well, can you tell me why?" "Oh, well, we're going to have company tonight, and I just don't have the time." And we were going to have company that night, but I got off the phone, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You did not tell the whole truth." Oh, Lord, do I have to call back? You have to call back if you want me to be with you. God's serious about this. This might sound funny. It was not funny to me at the time. I may chuckle about it now, but it was serious because I felt like the Spirit of the Lord would leave me if I begin to cover up one little thing, well, we're going to have company tonight, and I don't have time. I don't know what the lady thought, but I sure cleared myself. I called her back. Said, I didn't tell you the whole truth. I'm sure she's not heard too many excuses like that. And then to hear, I haven't told you the whole truth. Lie not one to another. Seeing that ye have put off that old man. You see, we're all going to be tempted at times just to tell half of the truth. Just half of it. I didn't tell the whole truth. Do I have to tell the whole truth? Lie not. Don't deceive. Don't mislead. Don't misrepresent. Do you see I was misrepresenting? Lord, help us. God is not pleased with anything but a holy life. Seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge? What's knowledge? I want to read a scripture to you. I have many more, but we'll not be able to. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And if you will, in your own private reading, can read verses 19 We're going to start reading at verse 22, though, and read on down. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. See, this is in more than one place that the scripture is talking about the old man and the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying and speaking every man truth with his neighbor. I have another scripture. I'm afraid that I'm going to not have time for all of this one. Just a minute. Let me look here. James, the 1st chapter. For the sake of time, let's skip over here. You can read those there in Ephesians, though. You can read it clear down to the end of the chapter. James, the 1st chapter. We're going to start reading at verse 22. Young people and children, I want your attention now on this particular reading. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now you've come this morning, you've sat here, and you've heard the preached word. What do you do with it? The scripture says for us not to be, to be doers and not just hearers. It says we will deceive ourselves. If I come here and just sit and say, and go away, I'll be deceived. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror or a glass, it says. How many of us went before our mirrors this morning, fixed our hair, put on our clothes, stood back and took a little look? Is everything in order now for me to go off to church? All of us probably did that. But the scripture is saying that if you've come and you've heard and you've not been a doer, you're like a man that stood before the mirror. You saw yourself. But it says, for he beholdeth himself and he goes away and he forgets what manner of man he was. Whatever was preached that the Spirit of the Lord said, you need to cut this off. You need to cut off the very supply. Let that thing die. But if I forget what manner of man I am, Verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the law of liberty," or the word, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work," not a doer of just the word now, the work. That means I'm going to go home and I'm going to work on myself. That thing that I saw a glimpse of. You know, one of the little definition, not definitions, but the little category identifying parts in my Bible here over the side, it says fleeting impressions. See, you might say, well, I don't have all of those things. Did you have a fleeting impression of one of those things that you need to cut off? God will be pleased. It says, "Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds," in your work. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be a new man, new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Cut off the supply. Tied that string around that thing and I strangled it. Cut off the blood supply. I'm not going to give in to those temptations. I'm not going to allow those abusive things to come out of my mouth. And when I begin to feel that anger, I'm going to cut off the supply. Now let me tell you, lest you think you can do this all by yourself. You see, the beginning of the scripture said, "If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." There's the secret in cutting off, is to seek the things that will fill your life when Satan comes back and he sees that you have it filled up with something, he'll flee. God will give you power. He'll give you grace. I want to insert here, I told you how that the Lord has laid a burden on my heart to seek more of the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost in your life to truly be successful and be able to cut off these things for them to die. Otherwise, you're trying to do it in your own strength and you'll fail. You'll fail. But if the Holy Ghost is that power working in you, power of God, you'll be able to cut these things off. Pray for me. I want to keep saved.